We're talking about counting this morning. We want to study that subject, and as long as we're counting, the most obvious thing that we need to be counting as we consider the things that are important in our lives is counting the cost. What is the cost of following Jesus? We need to know, and we need to count that cost. Luke chapter 14 and verses 26 through 30. Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Have you ever seen an unfinished project like that? When we were living in Montgomery, Alabama, a church was started. And it was going to be huge. I mean, the framework was up, and it was a cathedral, but it sat there partially finished for year after year, and finally they took back down what they had put up, and I found out that church had fight or split or whatever, and they weren't able to finish it, and they wound up having to sell off the building materials to another church, and another church built that building in another town. And they started building and they couldn't finish. They didn't count the cost. I was beginning to wonder over there in Natchez if they were ever going to finish that little bridge connection there on 61 and 84. They worked on that for a long time. You begin to wonder somehow, did they count the cost? Well, when it comes to following Jesus, there is a cost. And just like somebody that's going to build a tower or a building, a bridge or anything else, we need to count the cost of following Jesus. Is it worth it to us? You know, everything has a cost. We go to the mechanic or to the doctor or we're going to buy something and the salesman's trying to sell. We always look, what's this going to cost me? And sometimes we may decide, I like that, but I don't like it that much. It's not worth the cost. And sometimes, especially with mechanic work, you get the choice of either you get the repair or you're going to have to get another car. That one's just not any good anymore, and it costs so much to fix it that it's not worth fixing it. I'll just get a different car. And sometimes you say, it doesn't cost that much. It's worth fixing it, and I won't have to get another car. But we compare these things and we consider the cost, hopefully, before we do things. The story is told of one situation where that wasn't the case. Someone at the gym, phone was ringing, he picked up the phone, and a woman on the other end of the line said, "Oh, hey honey, are you at the gym?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm at the gym." And she said, I just wanted to call you because I found this really beautiful dress that I wanted to buy." And he said, "Oh, how much does it cost?" She said, "Well, it's $500. He said, "Well, if you like it that much, go ahead and get it." She said, "Oh, thank you. That's wonderful. Oh, I heard that weird sound in the car again, and I saw this beautiful new car at the car lot." And she said, I really want to trade my car in and get that new one." He said, "Oh, well, how much is the new car?" She said, "Well, it's kind of expensive. It's a Mercedes, so it's going to be $70,000. And he said, "Oh, that's okay. Go ahead and get it. If you like it that much and you're tired of the old, just get it." And then she said, "Well, while I've got you on the phone, there was one more thing. The house is kind of small with the children, and I saw the house for sale, but it's our dream house." And he said, "Well, how much does that cost?" She said, "Well, it's $500,000. He said, "Oh, go ahead, get it." She said, "Okay, thanks, that's wonderful, love you, honey." And she hung up the phone. He also hung up his cell phone, and he said, "Does anybody know whose phone this is?" He wasn't counting the cost because it wasn't his money. It didn't matter to him how much she spent, because that wasn't his wife on the phone. If it had been his wife, he might have had some different reactions to some of those amounts and things to buy. But you know, we need to count the cost. Some people don't consider. They think that, salvation is the free gift of God, which, you know, the Bible talks about that, that salvation is a gift from God. But that doesn't mean there's no cost. There's going to be cost involved. What is it going to cost me? We want to know the bottom line. We want to know, what are the payments? What are the, how much interest is it going to be? We always want to know that. We need to know that. Some say there's no cost involved in getting to heaven in our salvation, but that's not true. Now, we cannot buy it with our checkbook or our credit card. That's true. But there is going to be a cost to our human lives. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I saw a cartoon one time that said there's a free lunch if you fix it yourself. But even then, it's still not free. You had to buy the stuff to fix it with. So there's still no free lunch. So we're going to look this morning at the cost of following Jesus. The first thing we want to notice is commitment. Commitment. Jesus does not accept half-heartedness. We can't serve two masters. He expects commitment to Him and to Him alone. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, He made it clear in this passage that we looked at just a little bit ago. If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Now when we hear that, that just doesn't sound right. I mean, the Bible teaches us to love others, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Teach us to honor father and mother? Yes, absolutely. So what does Jesus mean? You've got to hate your father and mother and your children and your wife? I mean, husbands, love your wives. What do you mean I've got to hate my wife? Well, we have to look at, again, the comparison. In comparison to our commitment and our love to Jesus Christ, no one and nothing is to come anywhere close to that relationship. If we have to lose someone that we love in order to stay true to God and to stay true to Christ and faithful to Him, then we have to accept that. And I've known some people who did that. Their parents hated them, or their children hated them, or a brother or sister, or even I've known that they couldn't stand to have their husband or wife to obey the gospel and to become a Christian. It was just anathema to them. And yet they chose Christ. Now, I've known other situations where somebody was given the choice, well, if you go down there, I'm going to leave you if you do that. And they said, well, okay, I'll quit then. I've known both cases to happen. But there is a cost in the level of commitment we have to Christ. And we will have trouble with some people. Some of the people who were our friends before when we were worldly and lived that way and that lifestyle, they won't want to be our friends anymore. Some even in our own family may not love us enough to accept that we love God more than them. Romans 12:1, we see the level of our commitment. Paul says there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations even translate that phrase reasonable service as it's an act of worship to God. To sacrifice your body to Him. That's the level of commitment. Not to kill yourself, no, but a living sacrifice each and every day. We live our commitment to Him. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus, debating with Satan, said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate one and love the other, or cleave to one and despise the other. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to choose to follow Christ, if you're going to follow Jesus, that's one of the costs. You've got to give up everything else that would have taken His place in your life. He's got to come first, and no one else. You can't worship or serve anyone or anything else. He is first. And then, of course, the second thing we see is obedience. There is a cost of obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, speaking of Christ Himself, it says, "And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." We cannot sit around talking about how Jesus is my Savior if Jesus is not also the Lord and King and Master of your life. Then He's not your Savior either. You can't have it one way and not the other. If you want Him to save you, then you're going to have to come to Him and obey Him. He won't save those who refuse to obey. It's just not something that He's willing to accept. Those are the terms. You can't have it your way. It's not Burger King. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Not just our actions, but even to our very thoughts. You know, sometimes, I can think it as long as I don't say it or do it. No. The Bible tells us even our thoughts, because He knows our thoughts. He sees them. He hears them. He knows each and every thought we have. So we have to obey, not only in action, but in thought, in heart. And then we see self-denial. You know, for many, it may be easy to throw off mother and father and even husband or wife or children, but boy, what about self? See, one of the costs of following Jesus is to deny self. And that is contrary to our very nature. We like self. We'll take care of self even when we won't take care of anybody else. We'll help self even when we won't help anybody else. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." In Luke there, he talks about hate even your own life also. There are a lot of people who will follow Jesus so far, right up to the point that it causes them personal harm of some kind. But then they're going to quit at that point. That's just too far. I'm not going to deny myself. We've got to watch out for that attitude because it can very easily sneak up on us. Philippians 2:21 says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." It is natural, and the Bible does tell us, if anyone does not take care of his own and his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. So there's that aspect to it. But we've got to deny our selfish desires. We've got to deny our wants. And even sometimes what we consider to be our needs. Studies have been done about what people consider to be needs. You know, Jesus said, you know, basically food and clothing, food and shelter, that's about it. Those are your needs. That's what you have to survive. Well, not today in our society. You know, we can add 50 more things to that list. And if we don't have those things, we just don't think we're surviving. At some point, we may be called on by Christ to have to give those things up if we're going to stay true to Him. We may have to deny ourselves certain things that we want or that we even think that we need in order to continue pleasing Him. And then we have to take up the cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If any desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He said much the same thing there in Luke 14 and verse 27. You've got to bear your cross. You've got to come after it. You can't just, you know, keep a little cross in your pocket or wear one on a chain around your neck. That's nice and all, but that's not what He's talking about. You've got to carry some suffering for His sake. When Saul was about to be converted, God was talking to Ananias before he went to Saul, and one of the things that God said to Ananias about Saul was, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now most of us will probably never have to suffer as much as Paul did. He was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was left for dead, people plotted to take his life. We may never face that kind of suffering. We may not have to bear that kind of a cross. But we have to be ready to accept that if that's part of the cost, we'll have to pay it. Could we pay that kind of a cost? Could we pay the cost of being arrested and beaten and put in prison? Could we afford that? Would we be willing to pay that much? Is it worth it? You know, sometimes it may seem like the cost of following Jesus is too high. It's like, that's just too much. The commitment, the obedience, the self-denial, taking up the cross, maybe having to suffer, those things, that's expensive. But let's consider the cost of not following Him. Because that's a cost too. We talked about earlier with the car. You know, if you fix it, it'll cost this much. If you don't fix it and you just junk it and you have to get another one, that'll cost this much. And sometimes you've got to compare, which one is it? Because you're going to have some costs one way or the other. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have to pay the cost. If you choose to not follow Jesus, you're going to have to pay that cost. Can you afford it? Which one can you afford to pay? Because you're going to have to pay one or the other. Condemnation. If you don't follow Jesus, you will be condemned. John 3:18 says, He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we refuse to believe in Jesus, if we refuse to follow Him, we will be condemned. Romans 8:1 though says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So we can avoid the condemnation if we stay in Christ. If we follow Him. If we walk according to the Spirit. But if we're going to walk according to the flesh, if we're going to refuse to believe in Him, if we're not going to obey Him and follow Him, we will have the cost of condemnation from Him. Outer darkness. Most of us don't like the dark. As adults, many times we don't say, well, I'm afraid of the dark. We wouldn't admit to something like that. No, I'm not afraid of it. I just don't like not being able to see where I'm going. Right? I'm afraid I'll trip over something. It's not the darkness. It's just, you know, I just can't see where I'm going. And so I don't like that. Outer darkness is reserved for those who do not follow Jesus. Matthew 25:30 says, And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this case, this wasn't someone who had never been one of his servants. This was one who was a servant, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was an unprofitable servant. He was useless and worthless as a servant. We have to beware. Just saying I believe in Jesus is not enough. We've got to be good servants for Him. We have to serve Him. He is our Master. And if we don't, outer darkness awaits. Matthew 22 and verse 13, The king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, one of the things about the dark is you don't know what's there. Especially if you're out in the woods in the dark and you hear a sound. What was that sound? What was that? You never know what you're hearing. You don't know where you are. You don't know what you might see. You might sneak up on an alligator without realizing it out there. You've got to be careful in the dark. Well, see, in the darkness, the outer darkness that God has prepared for those who refuse to obey Him and refuse to follow Him. That outer darkness is not something that we can ever come out of. If we go there, it's forever. In the dark forever. The sun will never rise. And we certainly need to consider that cost before we decide on whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. Separation from God. You know, we often talk about how bad this old world is getting. We look at the crime and we look at the violence and all of the evil that's out there, the sinfulness of the world around us. And sometimes we think, just how much worse could it get? Well, one step worse that it could get would be to be separated from God. No matter how bad this world gets, God's influence is still here. The sun rises. The air is here for us to breathe. There's water that we can drink and food that we can eat. And no matter how wicked the people are, there are still some good people out there. But what about a total separation from God and all of His influence? That's what awaits those that are disobedient. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." To never be able to go to God in prayer. To never think, God's there watching out for me, because He won't be. You'll be separated from His presence completely. To know that there's no hope of ever getting to be with Him again or ever getting to see Him again. That is a high cost. Just for a little time of pleasure now, a little rebellion now in this life, to have to face that consequence. Matthew 25 and verse 41, He will say also to those on the left, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Depart from me. Get out of my sight. I never want to see you again. Can you imagine? You ever had somebody tell you that? Had a boyfriend or girlfriend that broke up with you and said, "I don't ever want to see you again." Well, that kind of hurt probably, didn't it? Hurt for you. You probably still remember it, even if it was 50 years ago or more. You still remember, "Oh, that hurt so bad when they said that." Can you imagine what it would be like for God to say that? "Depart. Get away from me. I don't ever want to see you again." Can you imagine what that would be like for Him to say that to us on the day of judgment? Separation from God is a high cost. And then torment in hell. As if being separated from God were not enough, the Bible promises that those who rebel against God, those who are disobedient to Him, will go away into everlasting punishment. Now, there are some religious groups that say, "Oh, no, it's not that, it's just you cease to exist." Boy, I'd take ceasing to exist over everlasting punishment. Everlasting. That's a really long time. We can't even begin to imagine it. Have you ever had pain? Most of us that are over 2 have. Probably those under 2 have too. They just don't remember it all the time. But, oh, can you remember some of that pain you've had? Now, can you imagine suffering with that pain all the time forever? Hell is a place of torment. Luke 16:22 and 23, it was, "The beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man also died and was buried." Verse 23 says, "Of the rich man, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." And he went on to say in the next verse, when he's calling out to Abraham, he says, "I am tormented in this flame. Let Lazarus just dip his finger in some water and let a drop of that water fall on my tongue. Just one drop of water." You ever been that thirsty? Just one drop of water. He was tormented in the flames. You see, sometimes people have a little bit of confusion. They think, "Well, I can follow Jesus and then I'll be in heaven. I'll have to sit on clouds and play harps all the time." Or, "If I follow the devil," and there's even the old quote, "I'd rather rule with the devil in hell than serve in heaven with God." Now, I don't remember who said that. I feel sorry for anyone with that attitude. But not the attitude's not even the whole problem. The problem is they misunderstand. The devil's not ruling in hell. The devil will be tormented and suffering as well. There is no ruling. There's only suffering and torment in that place. Have you counted the cost? Follow Jesus, don't follow Jesus. Consider those two costs. Which one will you choose? You see, there's a cost on both sides. Commitment, obedience, self-denial, taking up your cross, that's a cost. It's expensive. Salvation may be free, but it's not cheap. It won't cost you a penny, but it'll cost you everything. But the cost of not following Jesus is even higher. Condemnation, outer darkness, separation from God, torment in hell for all eternity. If we've counted those costs accurately, and we're in our right mind, we will come to the same conclusion that Paul did in Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul said, balance the costs. There's no comparison. No comparison. If you have not chosen to follow Jesus this morning, there's no better time than now to make that decision. While you have time, won't you come to Him? Believing that He is the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins and to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, submitting yourself to be obedient to Him by being baptized in water, immersed to wash your sins away, so that you can rise to follow Him. But count the cost. Because that's not the end of the road, that's only the beginning. That's the new birth. Then you have a whole new life ahead of you of commitment, obedience, self-denial, and taking up your cross daily. If you chose at some point in the past to make those decisions and you've been following Christ in the past, but perhaps something has happened and you've quit making your payments. You know, we talked about the car earlier. If you quit making those car payments, they'll come take the car back, won't they? Well, if we quit following Jesus, if we quit paying the cost of commitment, obedience, self-denial, and we stop taking up our cross every day to follow Him, He'll revoke our ticket to heaven as well. If you're in that boat, you're in as bad a shape, if not worse, than the person who's never started following Him. The Bible says that those that return back from Him, it'd be better if they had never heard than to follow Him and then turn back. But you can come back to Him even from that situation. If you have quit paying, He'll let you begin payments again. He'll let you come to Him repenting of those sins, praying to Him to ask forgiveness, and He'll let you back into His good graces. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning for any cause, please do so as we stand and as we sing.